right now.
11 hour and I. Now the lights dim low. Soon we'll start the show. Here comes LF Midwood.
We'll be right back.
new Iron Maiden on the Midwood Files. Hello there. My name's LF Midwood, and as I said, you're listening to Midwood Files. I got stuff going on here. I'm not 100% kosher about it. I'm flying with my incitation. My incitation's not working so good. But anyway, that's from the forthcoming. I grabbed it off of YouTube, so I was watching the video, which I'd actually never seen. I'd heard the song once or twice in recent weeks, but I'd not seen the video. I highly recommend you head over to YouTube and check out the writing on the wall video from Iron Maiden. Very entertaining, very entertaining. I'm here. I feel better today than I did yesterday. Yesterday was a bit of a wash. I headed out. I was over at my uncle's house, my great uncle George's house over there in Bristol, on the porch, hanging out on the porch, and I started to feel not so good. So from later last evening until probably when I woke up later or earlier this evening, I was not feeling so good. But I'm feeling show worthy, or at least I think show worthy. This is a little hot. Stuff going on. At least I'm in stereo. Right? If that's all you got, I gotta move over here. If that's all you got left in the world, at least I'm in stereo. I was gonna take this show off due to mental health reasons. No. You know, now I shouldn't talk. Obviously, I'm currently suffering from various forms of mental illness. I understand the pressure, and I understand, not being able to do it, and I understand, distraction. I get all that stuff. But I don't even know this chick's name. I don't even remember. But why didn't she make a decision before she got on the plane? It's real loud. Before she got on the plane. That's better. Before she got on the plane. I like that. Why didn't she make a decision then? I would have to assume it's like you train and you know yourself well enough. You're training for what, 4 years, 6 years? Who knows? Maybe you're training your whole life to make the Olympic team. I don't know. But I would presume that you have some sort of connection, connectiveness between body and mind. And I would have to assume that if there was a possibility of something breaking, that you would do it before you got to Tokyo. Just like maybe if there was something wrong, possibly wrong on the space shuttle. Oh, you know what? There's possibly, not that we have a space shuttle anymore, but there's possibly something wrong on the space shuttle. Let's do it anyway. Or any sport, IndyCar, Really, think about NASCAR. Think about that. Let's put the car on the track. Let's get it up to like 150, 175 miles per hour. Now, let's see what happens. We're gonna play it by ear. No. No. And now everybody's waiting to see if she's going to drop out. I think she dropped out of something or another. Now they're going to see if she's going to drop out of the balancing beams. I don't think this person should be the center of attention at the Olympics. That's what I think. I think either she should have. Yeah, it's a yes, yes, no, no. Either you go or you don't, and that's it. That's me, So we have people defending. Oh, well, you don't understand. It's like, yes, I do. Either you're going to adult today or you're not. speaking from a guy who doesn't do a whole lot of adulting anymore, Anyway, what are you going to do? I do have most of my news from last week that I want to get to. Or at least some of it, because I picked up something new, a new piece that I want to read that, who knows, may take the whole hour. I don't want to do like an hour and change, I know. Hey, but you started with a Maiden song, and it's like almost like 25 minutes long. Well, tough luck. Let me see what I got. It's warm in here. Crap. I don't know what this is. My tablet is in badly need of juice. New features to make your life better. Yeah, okay. I like that I can fingerprint into this tablet. Okay, here it is. Ashley? It's Ashley. I believe it's Ashli. This is the woman who was shot at the January 6th, so-called January 6th riots. So-called. This is, who is this? Let me open it up. I believe I got that right. I believe this is the one who was the, she was Air Force. I believe she was in the Air Force. Let's see. Ashley Babbitt's, yeah, that sounds right. Ashley Babbitt's mom speaks. And this is from, I got to say, before I start this, I'm on my last Red Bull. My last big 20 ounces Red Bull? Yeah, 20 ounce Red Bull. I'm going to forgo these due to health reasons. I had, you know, when I guess this is my fourth show back, third, fourth show. I don't even count anymore. I had these. We were ordering them by the dozen from Amazon because they're hard to find. The big ones, the large size. You can always tell a lot about a man by the size of the Red Bull he drinks. I'm just saying, ladies. So yeah, I had some. I had a couple of them left. There was like one downstairs, I think, and then there was a couple up here. So this is actually the last one. I'm going to forgo the Red Bull. Maybe every now and then I'll see if I can find one of the flavored ones. You know, be a little bit more ethnic. I think there's a fair amount of foreign ethnicity coming up in my life. I'm embrace the brown. I'm trying. I really am. So yeah, I think this is the last one. So I'll do some coffee. I'll drink some coffee or something. Who knows? And see if I can just get some IV adrenaline or something. Something to get my ass dropped into gear for the show. But this is the last one. So just in case you're wondering, because I know I always go on about my Red Bull. It's been a while now. It's been like, I don't know, long time with the Red Bull. Mm-hmm. And they're expensive. They are. I hate to say it, but they are expensive. The big ones are expensive, like $2.53 or like $4.45, something like that. All right, so let me read this. Who is this? This was amgreatness.com. And the woman who did the article is Julia Kelly. She wrote the article. And this is dated July 29th of this year. So this is only a few days ago. Maybe even yesterday, even. I found this on Twitter. So if you want to follow Julia Kelly on Twitter, I think it's American Greatness. You should look under American Greatness and find her. This is where I came of attention. Well, my syntax is all gone. Let's see if I can improve it for the article. Okay, here we go. The only video Ashley Babbitt's mom has ever seen of her daughter on July 6th is a clip of her walking away from Donald Trump's speech to Capitol Hill. That brings me peace. Mickey Whithoff. I want to get this right. I think it's Whithoff. That's it. Ashley's mom. Told me by phone on Wednesday. Okay, so this was done on Wednesday. She was in her zone, so happy and having a great day. Until that son of a bitch shot her. Nearly 7 months after a United States Capitol police officer shot Ashley Babbitt in the Capitol building on January 6th, the government and subservient corporate news media still refused to confirm the name of the federal officer who killed her. Investigative journalist Paul Sperry recently reported that the shooter is likely USCP Lieutenant Michael Byrd. All right, that's in parentheses. The Justice Department closed its investigation into her shooting in April and announced the unnamed officer would not face criminal charges. Three USCP officers participated in an overdramatic public hearing before the January 6th Select Committee on Tuesday. I refuse to watch, by the way, often referring to the protesters as terrorists and insurrectionists and traitors. Though not a single person arrested in the aftermath has been charged with terrorism, insurrection, or treason. They repeatedly claimed that they thought they would be killed by the protesters. USCP Officer Harry Dunn asked for a moment of silence in honor of Officer Brian Sicknick to once again promote the falsehood that he was killed in the line of duty. Now, I don't believe he was killed in the line of duty. I believe he had a heart attack, is my understanding. And I wonder how much of his actual physical condition prior to the so-called riot had a lot to do with that. But there was no moment of silence for Babbitt, an Air Force veteran and Air National Guardsman with 8 deployments overseas, including to Iraq and Afghanistan, who actually was killed on January 6th. There are no tears, no table pounding from the crisis actor cops or emotional fragile lawmakers mourning her premature death. Babbitt was just 35. In fact, no one bothered to mention her name. Witthoff, I think I'm getting better at that, 57, described her oldest child as determined and strong-willed. A tomboy of sorts, Ashley always was up for adventure. While in high school, Ashley decided she wanted to join the military. Witthoff said she signed a notarized document to allow Ashley to enroll in the Air Force at age 17. September 11 strengthened her conviction to serve, Witthoff said. Ashley graduated from El Capitan High School in Lakeside, California in 2003 and entered the Air Force on her 21st birthday. Ashley sustained serious injuries in an explosion at Camp Boca in a detention facility in Iraq and was airlifted to a hospital in Germany. Ashley's adventurous spirit, Widowhoff explained, is what motivated her daughter to travel alone from California to Washington, D.C. so she could listen to Donald Trump's speech on January 6th. She was an avid Donald Trump supporter. She knew that that's where she had to be. Widowhoff said that she went to all the Trump rallies, if there was one nearby. She was the political one at our house. At the time, Ashley and her husband, Aaron, were opening a pool cleaning company in Southern California. Video shows Babbitt with several other people, including police officers, outside the speaker's lobby on the afternoon of January 6th. Babbitt is seen yelling at officers stationed in front of the set of double doors, one with a broken window. USCP officers stepped aside a few moments later. People started to smash the glass of the locked doors. Babbitt then attempted to climb through one of the windows. That's when the officer, wearing gloves, lifted his firearm and shot her in the neck. She died almost instantly. Widowhoff remembers getting a call from her daughter-in-law at work. We knew from the news reports that someone had been shot and killed at the Capitol. So when she called to say Ashley was shot, I just knew I could tell in her voice. We hoped there was time to pack a bag and get to D.C., but there wasn't. Widowhoff said red tape and military-style lockdown in the Capitol caused a long delay in getting Babbitt's body back home. In February, Babbitt was cremated and her remains scattered into the Pacific Ocean near her favorite dog park. 3 days later, after sleeping on her belongings awaiting her return, Babbitt's beloved German Shepherd died. Oh. She didn't have to be killed. There were other options, Widowhoff said, of the 110-pound, 5'2" daughter. Babbitt was unarmed. Then they dragged her out like an animal and cleaned up the mess and went about their business. A few weeks after Ashley was killed, Widowhoff said she finally took her head off the pillow and started making calls. A staffer at Senator Dianne Feinstein's office at first hung up on her, insisting she didn't know who Ashley Babbitt was. Widowhoff called again, and the same staffer answered. She asked to speak to a senator for 2 minutes. Ma'am, I'm sorry for your unfortunate situation, but if your daughter hadn't stormed the Capitol, she wouldn't have been in shot. Widowhoff said the staffer told her, Dianne Feinstein will never have two minutes for you. Donald Trump called Widowhoff on July 1st. He spoke very warmly about Ashley and talked about the political prisoners held without bond in D.C. in D.C. jail for 2 months awaiting trial or plea officers. The people who went to Washington on January 6th, Widowhoff said, were true patriots doing what the president told them to do. They believed that this was a stolen election. Widowhoff said Babbitt's four brothers were struggling to cope with a loss, even as her own. Widowhoff said Babbitt's four brothers were struggling to cope with their loss, as is her own husband of 33 years. He's not her biological father, but this has brought him to his knees. She told me. Some days are better than others. Ashley was a problem solver. I guess it sounds weird to say as her mom, but I always looked for her guidance. Her family's grief has been compounded by the media's grotesque portrayal of their loved one as a QAnon conspiracy theorist, or worse, a traitor who got what she deserved. And such vile comments aren't only coming from Democrats or leftists such as Keith Olbermann, a scumbag. This week, Senator Kevin Cramer, Republican, told a caller on the Fargo radio station that Babbitt was a criminal and that the and the public is not entitled to know where the identity of the federal officer is who killed her. What would be the purpose of releasing that officer's name? Kramer fumed at the caller's demand to release his name. What do you need to know the officer's name for? The first-term Republican senator said he is grateful for what he is grateful for the officer who shot Babbitt. Representative Mark Wayne Mullen, Republican out of Oklahoma, defended the shooting in a C-SPAN interview this week, recalling his interaction with the officer after Babbitt was killed. Mullen and I said, I gave him a hug and said, sir, you did what you had to do. Mullen never mentioned Babbitt's name. It's infuriating, Widohoff told me. She was exercising her First Amendment rights. This country was founded on brave men and women, and I feel that's what our patriots were doing. Widohoff also said she sings the national anthem every night at 6 p.m. Pacific time in solidarity with the January 6th detainees held in a Washington, D.C. jail, who sing the song every night at 9 in the East. We're fighting for justice for all of them. Widohoff, however, is comforted by the outpouring love and support from so many Americans lifting up Ashley's name. She hopes it results in a betterment of America. And a message to those who smear her late daughter's name. You only have awful things to say. Well, my daughter fought for your right to say them. You're welcome. I couldn't pass up on that when I saw it. You really haven't heard anything in regards to Ashley Babbitt's name in the media, or very limited, at least since the initial shooting took place. And that's because it really doesn't fit their agenda to have a former military person who was apparently a perfectly normal person who had family and ran a business and did all sorts of normal things, because it doesn't fit their narrative of stark raving terrorist militant crazy people who either have mental issues or are just traitors to their country. I wish there was more to that. I guess, you know, it's difficult. It's got to be super difficult for parents to talk about stuff like this. Let's see. What do I got? I know I got something somewhat related to the story. I'm going to flip around here. Like I said, I'm not quite recycling because I didn't run this stuff last week. But there is, here it is. This is out of Hannity. Or I found this on Hannity's Twitter feed. And this is, theodorell.com. This is the Leo Durrell, as in Leo 2.0. Here we go. And this is by Team Terrell. So I guess it's his staff, his writing staff. And here we go. Pelosi is blocking all GP nominees from being appointed to the democratically controlled commission tasked with investigating the January 6th Capitol riot. Shocker. Just like the endless impeachment trials, Pelosi is wasting her time in thwarting Congress from working for the people and their needs. A new Rossman poll shows the American public want Pelosi and Congress to focus on their efforts elsewhere altogether. The poll found that more Americans want the 2020 summer Black Lives Matter riots to be investigated rather than the January 6th Capitol riot, Rossman reports. A new national telephone and online survey by the National Police Association and Rossman reports finds that 66% likely voters think Congress should investigate last year's violent protests in which more than 2,000 police officers suffered injuries in the line of duty. The survey of 996 U.S. likely voters was conducted July 16th through 18th, 2021, by the National Police Association and the Rommison reports. Margin of sampling error is 3% in either direction. Percentage points with a 95th level of confidence, 3% and a 95% level of confidence. Majorities of every racial group and political affiliation support a congressional investigation of last year's violent protest. 67% whites, 64% blacks, 66% Hispanics and 62% of other minorities think Congress should investigate the 2020 riots in U.S. cities. 75% of Republicans and 60% of Democrats, 63% of voters not affiliated with either major party, say Congress should investigate last year's violent protests. In analyzing the survey results, the National Police Association blamed reaction of elected officials to last year's protests, which began after the death of George Floyd during a May arrest in Minneapolis, for a subsequent rise in violent crime. According to the study, 68 cities by the Major Cities Chiefs Association, in the summer of 2020, there were at least 574 protests that involved acts of violence, including assaults on police officers, looting, and arson. 21% polled do not think Congress should investigate last year's protest, and 13% are unsure. The number of voters who want Congress to investigate last year's violent protest is clearly higher than 49% who say they do support Speaker Pelosi forming a select committee into the investigation of the Capitol riots. I guess I'll call them Capitol riots. I'll go forward. 42% say they do not support a January 6th investigation. So, as a little follow-up to January 6th. And I believe, again, a lot of people are being held in the D.C. jail now. They have not been charged as of yet, or they're awaiting plea deals. I know it's extremely slow there. Apparently, too busy identifying people, still looking at that videotape, doing whatever computer analysis they do to come up with people's face. I believe a couple of people have been ratted on by relatives or otherwise. So they're still rounding people up. It's a shame. When you compare the two instances, it's a shame. But nobody wants to disenfranchise the mob, because nobody knows what the mob is going to do. That's the difference, you know, when they talk about the idea of the mob, quote-unquote mob, that was present January 6th versus the mob that was present all last summer. Its size and ferocity were obviously much, much larger. And what do you think would have happened if there wasn't protection, for the for places like Philadelphia? You don't think that the mob would have gone in and would have destroyed all those national treasures? You know, right? We're supposed to believe that, right? Right. The only reason that there wasn't more destruction to government in various cities, and that's arguably true. I think in Portland, they continued to assault that that one federal building, continued to be assaulted, and I think there were a couple of ICE installations that were also attacked. So one guy didn't he attack an ICE thingy, and he got shot up. He got shot up in the process of doing that. Or was that some other leftist thingamajiggle that I'm not aware of? I think there's still protests going on outside that LA spa. Seems to be a good place to open up a bubble tea stand, don't you think? Because I know we talked about that 2 weeks ago, and it was like 2 weeks old. So I think that's like a continual thingamajiggle. So we'll have to see. Majiggle. I just made another thing up. Although, no, I think thingamajiggle's been used before. I have not made that up. I'm just obviously plagiarizing that from some other idiot. All right. Well, let me get back and see what I got. I thought it was, I guess we're almost, it's what, August already, isn't it? Is it August? Yep, it's August 1st. So, yeah, I would have thought that there would have been more stuff going on. Oh, this is the spa thing. See, yeah, why are these still here? Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So I still have that. 8 years in prison for man shooting at National Guard on Minneapolis Street. Let's see. This is all kind of related. Was this last summer? No, this was more recent than that. All right. 8 years, just to bring me the news. 8 years in prison for a man charged with shooting at National Guard on Minneapolis Street. He was accused of firing multiple shots at soldiers patrolling Minneapolis. Of course, Minneapolis still needs to be patrolled. Isn't that sad? I mean, when you're not talking about police, per se, when you're talking about the idea of the streets still being patrolled by National Guard anywhere in America. Anyway. The man accused of shooting at National Guard soldiers who had been stationed on a Minneapolis street has been sentenced to 8 years in prison after pleading guilty to 3 of 7 counts filed against him. Andrew Thomas, 28, was accused of shooting at 2 National Guard soldiers near Penn Avenue North and West Broadway Avenue on April 18th, 2021. So this was this year. The soldiers were on patrol as part of Operation Safety Net, the joint law enforcement effort launched after Derek Chauvin's murder trial. Okay. Charges against Thomas said he fired multiple shots at 2 Minneapolis squad cars and 3 National Guard vehicles early that morning, then sped off. 2 soldiers were injured by shattering glass, including in the eye and face, the complaint said. Thomas, on July 26, agreed to plead guilty to 3 felony counts, according to court records. Second-degree assault with a dangerous weapon, possession of a firearm despite a previous conviction, and drive-by shooting. The remaining charges against him were dismissed. Two of the counts were ordered to be served consecutively, meaning that he will serve 96 months. A spokesman for the Hennepin County's Attorney's Office said. Thomas, in connection with the same incident, was charged with being a felon in possession of a firearm by the U.S. Attorney's Office. Yeah, that's never good. That one's never good. What else we got? I know we got a lot of... The whole COVID thing is it's perking back up, as they say. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure at this point what's going on. I don't know if I'm super concerned because, like I said, for the most part, my lifestyle really doesn't lend itself towards being susceptible, whether I was vaccinated or not. Which means I still really, honestly, I went out yesterday to Bristol and I wound up going to a restaurant, a breakfast place in Bristol called Green Eggs and Ham. And I had a couple of scrambled eggs and a few pieces of ham and like a piece of toast and some coffee. And I held that down. I was very happy. So my big thing it's not so much, you know, eating is an issue. But like I said, stuff seems to run through me like really quick. And I need to stay at least until we figure out what's going on. I need to stay there in a bathroom. And I'm one of the, you know, an actual bathroom, like a watershed, as my Uncle George calls them. And I like my own bathroom. I'm very peculiar like that. Very, very, very peculiar like that. So strange bathrooms, they're not conducive, as they say. So I gotta be really careful, you know. And I forget why I started talking about this. But anyway, so we went about Green Eggs and Ham. And, it's the mask thing. Yeah, we talked about the mask thing. I'm wearing it sometimes. I'm wearing it not. Apparently, we're on the honor system, so it really doesn't matter what I do. I kind of worry, you know, or I'm concerned if my whatever my current illness or whatever the flare-up of my current illness is, in addition to my diabetes, in addition to all, you know, my blood pressure, to all my other stuff, the litany, wasn't supposed to make it this long, the litany of illnesses, if it doesn't, you know, pop me into that category of being, even though, see, that's the thing, people who are already vaccinated are getting sick again, so I'm like, I'm not 100% sure what's going on with that. And I do know that they're saying, this is another thing that's a little bit concerning, is that if you've been vaccinated, there's a chance that you still have the same amount of the stuff in your nose, the germs, whatever they call them, whatever you earthlings call that stuff, in your nose. You could be vaccinated and just walking around with the nose and you don't have the virus and it's just hanging out up there in your schnoz. So I don't know what's going on. I'm a little, like I said, I never doubted that there actually was a virus. This is actually a real thing. And I believe it actually affects people who are susceptible due to age and other illnesses. I believe that 100%. Beyond that, I'm not really sure. You know, I maintain the same story I did before, is I'm not really sure. And I really don't, I got to be honest with you, at this point in time, I really don't trust the government. I've kind of had a falling out with the government and the Catholic Church at the same time. So I'm all the way over there in the corner by myself, although I'm not by myself, which is really actually kind of nice. I think when they refer to it as a plandemic, I find that term interesting. I can't entirely dismiss that. I can't entirely turn around and say, well, that's bullshit. What are you talking about? People are getting sick. Yes, people are dying. 100% people are dying. How many of those people died because of Governor Cuomo? But nobody gives a crap about that, apparently, by the way. It's scary. It's scary. But, yeah, I do believe the sick and elderly are sick and elderly are particularly susceptible. And with this new variant spreading so fast, I think Florida had its first, it had its all-time big one number for infections. And I know infections are up in Rhode Island, actually. So infections look to be up in a few places. On the same note, I think, where is it? What did Governor Abbott do? My soon-to-be governor. Where is he? There he is. This is out of the New York Post. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signs order banning COVID vaccine mask mandates. Oh, wait a second. Mandates. Okay. Greg Abbott issued the order Tuesday, 2 days after the Center for Disease Control and Prevention recommended indoor mask mandates. Well, that sets the stage then, I guess. Texas Governor Abbott on Thursday signed an executive order prohibiting mask mandates or COVID-19 vaccine requirements for government agencies and municipalities statewide. Oh, isn't that interesting? Abbott issued the order Thursday, 2 days after the Center for Disease Control and Prevention recommended indoor mask mandates regardless of vaccination status in places with at least 50 confirmed COVID cases per 100,000 people over the previous 7 days. So that's a little confusing. Let's see. So 50 confirmed cases per 100,000 in 7 previous days. Okay. To further ensure that no government entity can mandate masks, the following requirements shall continue to apply. No government entity, including the county, cities, including a county, a city, school district, and public health authority, and no government official, may require any person to wear a face covering or to mandate that other person wear a covering, the executive order read. Abbott defended the move in a statement arguing today's executive order will provide clarity and uniformity in the Lone State and the Lone State's continued fight against COVID-19. The Republican governor went on to reiterate his argument that the path forward relies on personal responsibility rather than government mandates. Well, I tell you the truth, I'm just going to stop here. The article's not over. I like that. I honestly 100% like that. I do. I honestly do. And I would like to stand by that. But there are people who are irresponsible. So I don't think, here's what we do. If there needs to be a certain cutoff time, because I think he's right. I agree with the sentiment, you know, that he's putting forth there. It's like the path forward should be based upon personal responsibility, 100%. So at some point in time, if people are still getting sick and are still like really, really getting sick, they should be refused medical help because they had an option of making the situation better. Of actually getting vaccinated. That's what I think. How's that? So there's your personal responsibility for you. You know, because we can't force other people. I mean, that's the sentiment here. I agree. We can't force people to take a vaccine. But by the same token, we don't have any responsibility to provide them with medical care should they become infected. Right? Is that a little too radical for some people's taste? I don't know. I'm not really sure. You know what I mean? When I think about it, when I think about the words coming out of my mouth, it is a quote unquote a public health risk to some degree. Again, the big deal to me winds up being the elderly and the sick because these people could like get sick enough not to actually require hospitalization, but they can make other people sick. So if it was something that just affected you, then fine. I wouldn't give a fuck what you do. That's called personal responsibility. Unfortunately, not going to be able to force people to do anything anyway. I live here, like I said, I live in the third world here. So You can't make these people do anything. Not a one thing can you make these people do. For their own good, for anybody else's good. They just, you know. But I think that has a lot to do with mistrust of government and, you know, a lot of other factors come into play here. You know, so what do you do? What's the thing to do? Should we just say that the virus is a hoax and that's it and just turn our back and go blah 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 blah? I mean, is that a real thing? Can we do that? I know people who believe that. I know people who believe that entirely. You know, and I know people who know people. Notice I said know people who know people who got the virus and died. And I know other people who just got the virus and got a little sick. And I know people who got the virus and got more sick, per se. So, I mean, are we just going to make like this is an imaginary thing? I don't think we can do that. So there's this thing. It's a legit thing. And if it doesn't affect you directly, you can still get infected and infect other people who do. So now the honor system, remember I was saying, like with the mask here in Bristol and, you know, in Rhode Island, pretty much is restaurants and supermarkets. The signs say, if you've been vaccinated, don't wear a mask. You don't have to wear a mask. But if you haven't, you do. All right. Well, you know, and so now all of a sudden, okay, so there's two types of people. Regardless of what's going on with this thing, there's a thing, right? There's two types of people. People who've been vaccinated and people who haven't. So sooner or later, there's going to be this. You have to, in order to do these things, you have to show some proof of vaccination. So it's headed towards those passport things, which is actually, I think I have an article on that. Let me finish the one. It's right here. This is the one with Abbott in Texas. In making the recommendation, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky, said data indicates that vaccinated people can spread the Delta variant to unvaccinated people more easily than other strains of COVID-19. So let's make sure we get so now it doesn't even matter. Okay, now we took that away. See what it says there? This is a very important statement. In making the recommendation, CDC director said data indicates that vaccinated people, this is people who have already been vaccinated, can spread the Delta variant to unvaccinated people more than any other strains of COVID-19. Fascinating. The variant, which first emerged in India, that's Gando, not Tanti, in December, now accounts for 83% of cases nationwide, according to CDC. However, critics have questioned that assertion, and former Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary Brett Gurra suggests Thursday that the CDC's data is weak. Dr. Walensky said that in rare circumstances, a vaccinated person may transmit. Well, if it's 1% of 1% of 1%, that's no reason for mask recommendations. But we don't know because they won't tell us, he said in a Fox interview. Interesting. The chances of becoming seriously ill or dying from a breakthrough infection of the Delta strain is extremely low if a person is fully vaccinated. One wonders how low it would be if they weren't vaccinated. See, this is what we're, you know, talking about here. Out of 161 million U.S. residents who were vaccinated as of July 19, just 5,601 caught a severe breakthrough infection and were hospitalized. And infinitesimal 0.0035% of the protected population, according to the latest CDC figures, available on post-vaccination infections. See, I know these numbers. When it comes to deaths, the risk is even lower. Just 1,141 vaccinated people died from a COVID breakthrough case, or 0.007% of those fully jabbed, as they say. But in defending the decision to reinstate mask mandates, Walensky said Thursday that while vaccines are highly effective against serious illness, the new guidelines helps protect more vulnerable individuals and children who are too young to get immunized. The agency said in its new guidelines that it was urging everyone in K-12 to wear a mask when they return to class, regardless of vaccination status. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki also defended the CDC's new guidelines, saying Tuesday the agency was responding to evolving information about the pandemic. Well, that much I believe is true. That's the one thing that, I tell you the truth. That's the one thing that I do believe is true in all of this, because I've obviously indicated that I'm starting to wonder what's going on here. They don't know. They don't have enough data because the virus, I should say, the vaccines, they weren't tested. They weren't put out into some sort of thorough situation. To be able to get some information. Now, better information. Now, is that a bad thing? Is that a reason not to take the virus? Yeah, I guess. I mean, I could understand people not wanting to take something because, well, they just don't know, you know? I mean, everybody was really hyped about Operation Warp Speed. And then it happened, and then the Democrats were saying, well, I won't take the Trump vaccine. You know, like he made it himself, like he sat there with his Diet Coke and, you know, started mixing stuff together and, came up with it, put it in a centrifuge and, you know, and called somebody in and then shot it with them and see what happens. You know what I mean? It's Donald Trump. Donald Trump created the virus. No, no, he didn't. But that's where you're at with Democrats, you know. So we don't know. We're making it's I don't know if it's like making it up as we go along. I don't know if that's the proper term. I think finding things out as we're moving along is probably more accurate because there just wasn't enough data out there. So they don't know. They don't know what's going on. And God forbid this thing mutates. Yeah, I'm done with the Abbott one. God forbid this thing manages to, here it is. This is one. This is out of Russia Times. This is Europe. This is in London last week. I'll get to it in a sec. You know, God forbid, this thing is obviously mutating, or it is capable of mutating. God forbid it mutates, and now all of a sudden we wind ourselves back where we started from, because now immunity is now, it overrides the freaking vaccines. I guess anything's possible. I guess anything's flicking possible. I know, you know, like I said, at this point in time, I think we need to do something about the vulnerable, and that's that. I don't, you know, I think that's who we should be concerned about protecting, and the vulnerable, the old. They're not running around on the streets. They're generally at home, or they're in hospitals, or they're in nursing homes. Governor Cuomo, they're not running around living a fully actualized life, interacting with tons and tons of people on a daily basis. They're not doing that. So for people who are doing that, who are not vulnerable and have an infinitesimal chance of getting the virus and or spreading the virus, then why don't we just leave them the fuck alone and focus on the vulnerable people? Because you're never going to be able to be proactive. They're using the idea of being proactive to control people. And lots of people are seeing through it. Lots of people are seeing through it. Now, whether it's good for them or not, just because it's being government mandated, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it, you know. And I obviously, Governor Abbott has figured that out. Obviously, Governor Abbott has figured that out. So don't do what I do. Do what I say. But, you know, and again, people don't trust the government. Don't trust the government. If it weren't for the mail-in vote, which was necessary because of the virus, quote unquote, because of the virus, President Trump would still be president right now, and the Democrats wouldn't have had the opportunity to steal the election. That's 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that's how it works for me. That's the chain. That's the chain. The only question becomes is, again, the virus itself, who's affected, and what, how healthy people react to it or don't react to it. Blah, blah, blah. Da, da, da. Okay. Here we go. This was a freedom rally. When was this dated? This was dated July 25th. Freedom rally. Thousands protest COVID passports in London as anti-vax speakers threaten doctors with Nuremberg trials. This is good stuff. Who wrote this? This says the RT team. I'm not getting any. Well, maybe down there it'll be. Anyway, anti-lockdown and anti-vaccination activists rallied in multiple British cities against the vaccine passport initiative. In London, one of these speakers triggered a major controversy by likening the National Health Service staff to Nazi doctors. Thousands of people gathered at Trafalgar Square. I used to be able to say that word. Anyway, that big square there in London on Saturday for the Freedom Rally. The protests to protest restrictive measures introduced amid COVID-19 pandemic. Demonstrators flooded almost the entire square holding placards and banners reading "No to forced testing" and "No to forced vaccination." Many activists went as far as accusing the government of crimes against humanity, while banners seen in the crowd ranged from 5G conspiracy theories to flags reading Trump 2024 in London, no less. I can't do it. Though minor scuffles erupted on the sidelines of the event, resulting in several arrests, the rally was otherwise peaceful. The gathering was attended by controversial media personality Katie Hopkins, who just returned from Australia after her visa was canceled after a quarantine breach. The former TV presenter turned conspiracy theorist David Icke was also present, as well as Piers Corbyn, the brother of former Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn. One of the speakers, Kate Sheeran, some Asian name. No, it's Asian. There's a lot of I's in there, so I don't know. The former nurse turned anti-vaxxer and conspiracy theorist triggered a major controversy, calling the vaccines, satanic. wait. Satanic. Yeah. I'm going to get a little bit more something on there. I'm going to change that one. At Nuremberg trial, the doctors and nurses stood trial and they hung. They hung them. If you are a doctor or nurse, now is the time to get off that bus and stand with us, the people, she said, claiming that a group of lawyers is helping her collect the information. The video of fierce speech quickly of her first fierce speech quickly spread onto social media, prompting an angry response from London Mayor Sid Khan. No. anyway, Star Trek reference. I have raised it directly from the Met Police, he said, while praising the healthcare specialists as heroes of this pandemic. This is what National Health Staff woke up to this morning, a rally hanging doctors and nurses. Sorry, wait a minute. Elsewhere in the UK, protesters went beyond chanting provocative slogans. In Manchester, a group of anti-vaccination activists sought to storm a local COVID-19 testing center, forcing police to deploy additional guards to the facility. In Leeds, protesters blocked traffic as they swarmed the streets. The disruption resulted in several local bus companies halting service on some lines. The protests come in response to the government's plan to introduce vaccination passports. On Monday, Prime Minister Boris Johnson said that proof of vaccination will soon be required to enter nightclubs and other venues, which have just reopened this week. The announcement was met with widespread resentment and even angered some MPs who vowed to vote against the measures. That's crazy. Pretty soon, Garrett, you're going to expect people to be taken. Microchip? That's what I think that to lose. If this goes to microchip, if they start going to like microchip for proof of vaccination, well, then I'm literally going to freak out. I haven't freaked out in a while, but I'm literally going to freak out. As feeble as I am, as sick and feeble as I am these days, I'm going to freak out. I got to be honest, because I'm like a really honest person. I know what's going on with me is my, not so much my stomach, because they did an endoscope and they looked. And I still have the nausea. It's not as bad as it was. And I'm taking anti-nausea pills and whatnot and great. And I'm watching what I eat. I'm eating small things and small portions of it. And I'm doing okay. But I got a pound of boar's head bologna. Not the beef, but the regular, the mixed pork beef variety, the stuff that I grew up on. I got a pound of it. We've been eating a couple. I've had a little sandwich and then another little sandwich, and it doesn't feel great, but it tastes good. It actually tastes good. So I just had to be honest. I had to be honest about that. But other than that, I'm doing everything I can to stay in the best shape that I can so that I can continue to function and do the program over the summer, or continue to do the program for the remainder of the summer, and then we'll see what happens in the fall when I go in for more more testing. We'll see where I'm at. But that's the deal. That's what's going on. I forgot to do the plugs. I'm going to have a bologna sandwich when I get out of here. forgot to do the plugs last week. I was in such a hurry to get out of here. All right, so yeah, head over to lfmidland.com. You know the drill. Tell your friends. Tell the people you don't like. Whatever. Head over to Midwood Files. You'll see all my archives with snooty whimsical little descriptions. And head over to the right-hand side. You see I got my favorites. I got my social media. I'm slowly crawling back to social media. I used to be religious about it, but now I'm like, oh yeah, you know. So I'm more oh yeah-ish about it. So I am kind of looking around. I am posting a tiny bit more on Facebook, some memes and some photos. Nothing of any serious consequence. But I'm there. I'm back. I'm making some sort of noise on social media, some sort of footprint on social media. If you go up to the top, where it's, and I think everybody's looking at the same thing now. I don't think people are getting the mobile version. So if you go up to the top. It should be a miniature webpage. If you go up to the top and you go over to the right, you'll see 11RNI. That'll take you over to John Lightning's page. And over there, you got John Lee Lightning Archives. You got Big Steve Cole and Memoriam Archives. You got Boogeyman Archives. Tons of archives. And if you head all the way over to the right, to the far right, as you're looking at it, Grits Radio, a good friend, Brad Reed, believes he's still running the show, though I can't tell you why. Head over there and see what's going on with that. He streams up pretty much all the time. I'm not even 100% sure. I should go make sure. I should know it from what I speak. Unfortunately, I don't. Anyway, that's it. That's all I got this week. Kind of stumbled through a news show. I got to get a little feel. Got to get back into it. You know, it's last week was anything but a news show, and I wanna continue to do a little bit more news and opinions. You know, editorializing and that sort of thing. And it takes a few of those to get kind of back into the flow. So let's consider this a baby step forward. I got to put this up or I'm going to totally forget about it. Okay, there we go. All right, ooh, hey, I actually hit the microphone with my glasses. So that's it. Make sure this is open. I gotta make sure this is open. Yeah, all right, we're closing out with Ozzy. See you on the other side.
Has passed for choices. Golden days are passing over. Yeah, I can't seem to see you, baby. Although my eyes are open wide, but I know I'll see you once more. When I see you. Yes, I-
been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening.